Hello, a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and today's episode is entitled The Colour of Company. I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, an experienced practitioner of meditation, who will take this subject up in a series that looks at what the core of spirituality is. We ask you to take a good look at your relationship with yourself as well as the Supreme Soul and ask yourself the important questions such as, is there a balance between your inner and outer world, and are you content with your relationship with the Divine? Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The colour of company, I take it we're referring to human company. Why is this an important aspect of spirituality?
It's because company refers to influence. And what is a reality is that whatever you are near, or whoever you are near, is going to affect you. Even, it's not just only human company, but for example, the weather. If it's a gloomy day, you become a bit gloomy. If it's a sunny day, you have a sunny disposition. In some parts of the world, say in the very far north, where it's light all the time or dark all the time, there's an influence. If the weather is warm, cold, if you are with people of a certain type, you tend to become more like that. If you are with children, you become more childlike. If you are with intellectuals, you become a little bit more intellectual. So definitely there is this whole question of company and its influence. Take, for example, a person who decides that they need to give up drinking alcohol. One of the main things they have to do is stop associating with their drinking friends. Because if they don't do that, they're never going to be able to make the change that's needed. So it is said, you know, you can tell a person by their friends. It's also, you can see in nature, the animals very often will have colors that correspond to the surrounding environment. And when the environment changes, like say a fox will get a white coat in winter and a brown coat in summer. So you see this very often, this thing of blending in, or you know, if you're a person who really stands out, then you may be the one who colors other people. And so they become influenced by you. So then the whole question is, what kind of company should you choose, knowing that whatever company you choose is going to influence you?
Okay. Now, Sister Denise, unfortunately, there are one too many of us who are very careless with the people that we associate with. We do not spend enough time, enough attention evaluating the people in our lives, not judging, but evaluating. Why is there this level of carelessness? I've heard the expression wanting to fit in, and I think that takes precedence with a lot of people over one's personal standards. Why is that the case?
I know people like that, and myself am not like that. I never feel comfortable when somebody says, "Oh, you need to fit in." So, but I know somebody very well who's very concerned about fitting in. So the clothing, the furniture, all the things that are selected are because of fitting in with the wider society that that person wants to be part of. And that even goes as far as attitudes, political orientation, taste, all these things. I think it's because of wanting to belong, wanting to be accepted, not wanting to be excluded.
Okay. Now, Sister Denise, if one has to look at oneself and then see what type of friends that you want to invoke into your life. How do you know what criteria you should use when choosing somebody? Because say if you're somebody of low self-esteem, then you would choose people of the same ilk or who treat you badly?
I think probably, because the thing is, if you have low self-esteem and you see somebody who has high self-esteem, you might not be able to relate. Mm. Or you might feel always very inferior in their company. So you might want to look for other people who have maybe lower self-esteem than you, and that may make you feel better. But I think that if a person has high standards for themselves, they will look for someone with even higher standards. Take, for example, in sports, you know, if you're a tennis player, you really like it if you get a chance to play with a really good tennis pro, because that's going to improve your game. And I think that also happens with other aspects of human life. If there are things in people that you feel that you respect, that you regard, that you like somebody's intelligence, you like their characteristics, their skills, their taste, by associating with them, you can actually make yours more elevated, and that also makes you feel better.
Okay. Sister Denise, I'd like to take this conversation onto a more personal level. I once heard it said that if you want to know whether a human being enjoys his or her company, you should ask them what they do on Sundays. Okay. From what you've said in the past about spirituality, it involves a lot of silence and self-reflection and coming to terms with who you are. There are a number of people who are watching you right now who don't like their own company, who can't be, who can't stand to be alone, not even for 5 minutes, who need either human company or a cell phone or anything that makes them not feel alone. What does that say about someone?
I would say on the whole, what it says is that they never really developed their inner life. And I think that's something that begins in childhood. Most children have a tendency to actually enjoy being alone and having their own company and discovering things on their own, as well as socializing. But in the culture, that's generally discouraged. And if that has happened to a person and they've never really spent time alone, they never really got to feel themselves, know themselves, so it becomes a scary thing.
Okay, what do you mean developing your inner life? That's a very interesting expression.
You have your outer life, but you also have the world of your mind, the world of your thoughts, your imagination, your creativity. There's a silence that you go to when you're by yourself, which is also reflective, meditative, contemplative, and it's very good for a person to resource themselves in that inner silence. And I think a person who does that is able to be strong, is able to be independent, and not needy like others who never really do that.
Okay. Sister Denise, you know, we socialize and we network with different people for various reasons. Now, when it comes to relationships, and most specifically personal relationships, Sister Denise, I was thinking of personal relationships, and I've often heard the expression when someone is trying to find a partner, they use the expression, he or she completes me. And spiritually, how does that one sound to somebody who's spiritually enlightened?
Well, you know, when you are thinking of yourself spiritually, you never really think of yourself as being completed by another human being, really. You're a complete person yourself, But at the same time, you're very aware of the desire for being with someone or something higher. I remember many, many years ago, before I got into a formal spiritual practice, I had an experience where it was as if I was sort of catapulted into the cosmos and absolutely alone, absolutely far away from the earth. It was a very strong experience where I found myself kind of looking around in this great void, and then being aware of the presence of God and thinking, yeah, now this is where it's at, you know, and realizing also that, you know, within the dimension of the great cosmic void, you actually are not alone. And that was a very important, I think, ingredient during the time of the quest for spiritual enlightenment. I remember it quite well, and it comes back to me from time to time, because it's really in that inner space that I go to, you know, find my connection. So it's not that God completes you, that you're an incomplete person, but rather that you are a complete person, but you're not there only for yourself.
Mm.
That, I think. And I think also in human relationships, if you go about it like that, it's better than looking for your other half. It's probably never going to be the right half.
Yeah, okay. Sounds a bit scary. Yeah. Okay, Sister Denise, there's this expression that one hears often, the feeling of belonging,
yes.
Okay? And irrespective of race or culture or continent in which one lives, there's this inherent need in human beings to bond with other human beings. And that's why we formulate groups and isms and any group, any gathering, because it gives us a sense of family, even if it's a non-biological kind of family. And sometimes I think that need to belong to a group overrides one's decision-making prowess as to whether the group is of the same standard as you are.
Quite possibly, but of course it's very good to be able to have so much confidence in yourself that you can really go out there and find what I use the word my people, you know, people who are same or like-minded, same values, same aims in life, higher purposes, that kind of thing. And it's not that, for me at least, you don't find that many. And they're not characterized by their position, their profession. It's something very, very internal, something to do with the spirit of the person that I look for in my people.
Spirit of the person.
Mm.
Okay. So, Sister Denise, before one actually decides the type of person that you want in your life as a friend, before one chooses friends, what should you do to create, well, to still have a sense of belonging so that you do not become isolated, but to set some standards for yourself? How does one go about that? I'm thinking now about the number of teenagers who, as part of their socialization process, you know, belong to groups of people, who, not all of whom they should be associating with. And this is the, you know, the nightmare of most parents, that I hope my child comes back in the same condition with which I sent him or her to school today.
That's right. In young children or teenagers are very much influenced by fashion, by someone who's sort of becomes like a leader in their school or something like this, and so it's very easy for a child to you can say, go astray. And this is why I think it's very important for parents and children to have a really good dialogue going. Mm-hmm. Because once the child is a teenager, that young person is becoming an adult, but still not quite. And it's a very difficult time. And it's a time when the young person really needs someone who is not going to be just finger wagging or anything like that, but who really listens, who really becomes a friend and mentor, you know. So a parent who is able to do that as the child moves into their adult life, that's a great good fortune and will really help the child to be discerning about their friendships. And I think if you don't have love at home, and you will look for love anywhere you can, and this is where a lot of young people get into very bad situations.
That's a very sobering thought, that if you don't have love at home. Yeah, ouch.
Because you have to have love. So if you don't get it at home, you'll get, you know, and these are predators who will propose love, but it's not love, it's they prey upon the young people.
Ouch. Okay, Sister Denise, part and parcel of company includes the company of God. You want to take us through that journey and what it has meant for somebody who has 40 years of spirituality behind her?
God is discarnate, but yet, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had this extraordinary experience of going out into the great cosmic void and feeling that, yes, there also is the presence of God. And so you can kind of carry that with you wherever you go, in whatever activity you are doing. You can refer to God. You want to make a decision, a difficult decision. You want to do nothing when other people want you to do something, or vice versa. Having that connection with God is a source of guidance and a sort of vibration that you can refer to, which will sort of give you a yes or a no, or some kind of a nudge one way or the other, which is really nice. And company with God is also company with the truth. And so company with God's teachings, God's ideas, God's atmosphere, vibration, all of this is a very, very beautiful to have as part of your life as you're going along, you know. And you always have this feeling you're never alone, so you never need to seek out someone from the angle of being needy, but you'll always be complete in your relationship with God. And then in your relationships with other people, these become complementary, but not that you are trying to get another person to fulfill some empty space that you may have in yourself, because that can put you into karmic accounts and other difficulties.
Sister Denise, when it comes to deciding what quality of person appears in your life and stays in your life, I think the mistake both children and adults make is that we tend to rely on our feelings. And, you know, I like this one, it makes me laugh, yeah, let's hang out. Okay, it's sometimes it's as simple as that. But what you're talking about in being more careful about who you associate with is more a head thing, isn't it? How does one not get just sucked into the feelings?
If you are feeling empty, needy, lonely, something like this, then you're on the lookout for someone who will fulfill that. And you may come across someone who seems to fulfill that, and you don't look any further. What else is there in that person? Because you're just looking for that thing. And I think that when you're more complete, then you're looking for someone complementary, not somebody who's going to fill some gaps that you have. So it's a very different antenna that you have when you're looking for someone who is, you know, on the same level as you.
Mm. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so we have come to the end of today's episode. A last thought for the viewer before we say goodbye.
If you have good company, it's going to carry you forward. If you fall into bad company, it can drown you. So be very careful.
How do you mean drown?
It can send you along a track of your life where you just end up in quite a bad space, doing the wrong things, getting caught up in wrong activities, getting sort of implicated in behaviors that you wouldn't otherwise go into. You have to be careful.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. So there you have it, company and good company. I don't know if you have applied your mind to this subject, but if you haven't, it's actually worth sitting down if you have a few moments today and do a quick inventory of all of the people in your life that you choose to be with. Could be family members, it could be friends, and ask yourself, does this relationship work for me? And I liked particularly how Sister Denise mentioned that company means influence. So the question is, do you want a person of this caliber to influence you in any way? Yes, we all have people in our lives who uplift us. By all means, keep them. But those who don't, I think you should reconsider what that person is doing in your life in the first place. Sister Denise also mentioned the importance of keeping the company of God, who's the ultimate friend and the best of all companions. So I do hope this episode has been of some use to you and relevance in your life. Thank you so much for joining us, and goodbye.